Thank you very much indeed, Brooke. And thank you, Thomas. So we come to the last bit, the light. I'm going to ask you not to light your glow sticks just yet. I'll tell you when we come to that. When we come to it, you snap them, but don't do it just yet, because we're going to reenact something that happened back in the New Testament. And John says there, as Brooke read to us, John said, the true light, the light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So John recognized that this Jesus Christ was the light of the world coming into the world, God's light for this world. But Jesus himself confirmed this as well. Later on in John, we read about the time when Jesus himself said that he was the light of the world. And I want to reenact that this morning between us, that moment, because it's quite a dramatic moment in Scripture. And I think we can do this using the lights from our Christingles. It takes quite a lot of reading around, it's around John chapter 8, and it takes a bit of reading around there to work out where Jesus was and what was going on when Jesus declared himself as the light of the world. But with a little bit of research and a bit of reading around, we can work out the details of where Jesus was. And Jesus was at an important Jewish festival called the Feast of the Tabernacles. And what happened in the Feast of the Tabernacles was they remembered how they'd been brought out of slavery in Egypt a long, long time ago. They'd become free people. And they retold the story during those weeks. And for the Feast of Tabernacles, it's also called the Festival of Booths, because during that week, people would make booths, make shelters on top of their houses and things like that, and they would live basically outdoors and in a made shelter during that festival. And the festival was quite dramatic, and it got increasingly dramatic as the days went on. And we find Jesus on the last day of the festival. And John writes quite a bit about what happened during that last day of the festival. But there's a first century historian called Josephus who gives us some details about the kind of things that used to happen during the festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Festival of Booths. And there's quite a lot of drama. And one of the things that happened was some water was taken from the Pool of Siloam and brought into the temple and poured out on the altar. And it's believed that at that time Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let them come to me and drink. And also, one of the big highlights of the celebration, something that in a way we kind of do today, was the lighting of the lamps. Now, if you think back to the Olympic Games and the lighting of the torch, the Jews had something very similar that happened during the Festival of Tabernacles. And one of the highlights of the festival was to light these huge lamps that were in the corners of the court, known as the Court of the Women. We know that's where Jesus was because of some of the details that come later than this about where Jesus was speaking. And John tells us that it was near the place where the offerings were given. That place is it, near the treasury, which was in the Court of the Women. And in that place, this is where most of the public festivals would take place, because this was one court in the temple that most people could access. Most people were allowed into this court. So most of the public things happened in this place. Now imagine this is the court, and in the four corners, you've got these huge big lamps that go way out of the top of the court, way out of the top of the temple, and can be seen from all over Jerusalem. And during the festival, there would be this procession of the lighting of the lamps. It would be the assistant priest's job to climb up these poles to light these lamps, 75 feet high, with a flaming torch in your hand. So they are huge, absolutely huge. Even by today's standards, these are enormous lamps. And Josephus, the first century historian, writes that when these lamps were lit, women in their kitchens in Jerusalem could count grain just from the light of these lamps. That's how bright they were. So quite dramatic. So let's reenact that moment today. So imagine that we're in the Feast of the Tabernacles and we get into this highlight of the service and the lamps are lit. So could you all light your glow sticks and your Christingles? That's it. Give them a little shout. Give them a little snap and then shake them a bit if they're not working. And then if you place that into the top of your orange, okay, once you've got that, hold your orange up with your light in it and see when everyone's done. So it should look something like that. Excellent, I can see lots of lights around. I want you just to imagine, just look around you and see all the lights, and imagine that time in that court of the women at that Feast of the Tabernacles. And as those lamps were lit, imagine this. Jesus, I think, was a guy who liked visual aid. He used what was around him and what was going on, and he spoke into that context. And as these lamps were lit in the temple, as people saw all the lights lit, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And Jesus declared himself as the light of the world, as these lamps were lit. What a visual aid, isn't it? So as you look around, you just remember that Jesus came as that light of the world. And that's what the light in our Christingles represents, is Jesus coming as the light of the world. So the world that God made, the world that God loves so much, which is what the ribbon represents, that fruit of the Spirit that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the light of the world, Jesus Christ himself, come to us. There's one final challenge that I want to give you though. Jesus said something even more astonishing than declaring himself as the light of the world. It's found as part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus says this to his disciples. And I want you to hear this as a challenge to all of us who follow this light. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." The light of the world, Jesus Christ himself, the light of the world, asks us to be his light in this world, and to shine for him wherever we are. So remember what this Christingle represents, but most of all, remember that light of the world, and that light of the world, Jesus calls us to be his lights now in this world. At the end of the service, when we finish this service, we will parade around with the Christingles and we'll take them out into the world in a way that symbolises that we are called not to be lights just within our churches, but to be lights out there in the world that God made, and to shine for him. Thank you very much indeed, Thomas. Give Thomas a round of applause for us. It's been great. And we're now going to sing "Light of the World, You Step Down Into Darkness." Let's stand again and sing.